guys, and welcome back to Not Our Ancestors with Wes, Joy, and Tay.
What's up, guys?
And this is a weekly podcast dedicated to discussing all things Black, including politics, pop culture, relationships, and as what we like to call our most valuable Blacks.
I'm sick. That's why I'm off. My pitch was a little off.
So we are back after our Friendsgiving episode. I hope you guys all checked that out.
And if you didn't, then please go check it out right now because it was a really fun episode to record. It was fun. And I hope everybody who did listen to it hopped on our Facebook page and told us some things about it. But it was fun. I ate awesome. Food was good.
Makes me happy. I like to hear it.
I'd like to thank all of our friends for participating and giving us some very insightful conversations.
And for the food they prepared as well. It was great.
We have some
dope
best friends.
I know. Sure. Right? It was great. Alright, so are we getting started? Did you care? Rapid fire as usual. Alright, so let's get with the mess.
I'm excited.
Okay, so Princess Love says that she doesn't want to be married to Ray J anymore and is filing for a divorce.
Good for her. Finally. Next.
Wait, damn!
What?
Joy be ready to cut it off.
Sorry.
I don't care. Let's move on.
I care. But here's the thing. I cared about them all loving hip hop long. Okay, I gave them all of my love and devotion for
Ray J
three.
And Princess?
I'm just saying, yeah. Okay. I gave them all of my care.
Before Andrew pushed her in that pool.
This is before.
Girl, that was everything.
This is pre-pool. I'm giving a love pre-pool. And I remember when it was still, because if y'all recall, when Ray J and Princess first started dating, she was quote unquote the thought, which I thought was hilarious. So she had to prove herself to Ray J's mother.
Is that what all that was about? Ray J is the thought.
Right.
I mean, this whole video.
So there was a lot of tension between Sonya and the family and Princess.
Sonya is a Black woman and ain't nobody good for her Black son.
Which makes total sense.
Yeah, that's every Black mom.
However, Princess has proven herself time and time again. So when I say
Sonya's still coming after her.
Exactly. We talked about this on another episode where Sonya even came at her baby shower.
Like, yeah.
If you recall.
At this moment, if Princess Love says,
you try me.
When I get back to LA, I'm going to divorce your simple ass. I am all the way here for it. Great. Thank you. See you. Bye. Ray J, Sonya, and...
But see, is this another Mona Scott Young production?
Possibly. I do not care.
yeah, I didn't really
because
care.
Because I can't stand Ray J because he's part of the reason a Kardashian exists.
Oh, my God.
And then also, Princess Love, I think she's
stupid. He's a nine-inch part of why a Kardashian exists.
Okay.
Wow.
Sure.
But I don't like
Princess Love because I think she made some really dumb decisions. Ray J is trash.
But the babies are so cute.
The babies are cute. Don't get me wrong. I don't knock people's kids.
I
want to
see
but
the new
before,
baby
she, they didn't have to have these kids. She could have moved on and been with somebody else.
I think that she honestly, which is why I supported her all love and hip hop, is I think that she really does like him. He's a nut, but that's okay.
Yeah.
She's in love with a nut. But it
which
just so
many
happens.
People are.
Right. We are all guilty
and
of having
only,
fallen
and
in love
we only see
with
the TV
him.
Side of him.
True.
Exactly. But
we can assume how trash he is.
He's super trash. But here's why I'm definitely behind her being like, okay, so anyway, I'm divorcing your simple ass. She's all the way, 7 months pregnant right now with their second kid?
Right. She didn't have a baby yet?
This is their second child.
I know.
Okay, so no, she didn't have a baby yet. So the fact that now she's like, you know what, enough of this buffoonery. Hand me these divorce papers and cut the fucking check. I'm done.
But
now
the thing is, it has to be some shit if you're 7 months pregnant talking about getting divorced.
Yes. That's why the fact that she's like, here's
but also, with that
finger.
Being said, I don't care.
Oh,
moving on.
Wow.
Next.
Patti LaBelle says music of today lacks substance.
Facts. Next.
True story.
I care about her because she's a legend, and the fact that she could go on a show called The Masked Singer and sing half the people's songs with no
she
fucking
was killing it.
With not even trying.
She said this is how you should sing your song.
I'm pretty sure nobody backstage was like, Patti, won't you try this? But it's probably like, just give her the mic and just dare the words. She'd be fine.
I knew that was Patti, too. I was proud of myself.
That was...
But she's right. Like, a lot of the music of today is boring. R&B is almost non-existent. I think it is non-existent.
It's slightly coming back.
With whom?
With Tank. I mean, he's out there sucking.
Tank be trying.
Your girl. Never mind.
Tank be trying. Every album, he tries to bring R&B back. But no one gives him.
But you have her out there. You have...
People Daniel Caesar and that gap.
Daniel,
you have Daniel Summer Walker.
Caesar's.
You have Doja Cat.
I don't do Dayo.
I am waiting for the singers to come back. But
the people who can blow?
Yeah.
And really bring back R&B. That's how you get R&B back.
That's what I need.
You get some people who can actually blow, like her can blow. Right. She got vocals.
I mean, Ari Lennox can blow.
Yeah, she's good. I like Ari. But it's a different style.
Lizzo has an amazing range. It just depends on if her, if she ever decide to do an album like that. You know? So, I mean, yeah. So, what was the, did you care? Oh, I cared. But
I care that, like, our music, current music, I won't say art, current music lacks substance. It annoys me because I, throughout my life, has associated so much music with significant moments throughout my life.
Right.
And it's, I feel like now, today, I don't have that music to connect with significant moments in my life.
Yes.
So, I love that point.
Ooh, can we circle back on that?
I haven't listened to all
of
that.
I love that because I've been having this conversation about the music that I consider to be mumble rap, which I think everybody considers who listens to it to be mumble rap.
A lot of
rap,
singing is talking.
Right? You know so what I mean? All of this music is trash. And so recently Christian was listening to some music that was super trash. And I like started pulling apart the lyrics of it. And Chet was like, well, when we were young, we listened to silly songs too. And I was like, well, I have issue with what? That.
Tootsie so, Roll.
Right. So I said,
that was the shit.
Historically, looking back on the content of the lyrics that we were rapping, singing, humming along to, the SWVs, the, you know, Escapes, those songs, yeah, they were a little bit risque and it was kind of trash.
But it touched you, though.
Like, yeah, so
it was a connection.
It sure touched someone.
It made some babies.
Everybody can identify.
Where's the baby making music? Where's that at?
It's in the club. They don't. It's not baby.
Candy coated raindrops, right?
Right.
You know what that makes you feel like.
Yep.
You know what candy coated.
The little nothing cover that they have now annoys me. Like stop
it. Covering everything.
There's a cover of that, and it's terrible. Anyway.
I didn't.
So this name I can't really pronounce, so I'm just gonna call him Rich because there's more to his name. Rich Dennis. He's the owner of Sundial Brands that operates Shea Butter. He bought Essence magazine, and now Essence is 100% black owned again.
Thank you. I like that. I didn't hear about that.
I did see that. Yeah, I mean, that's what's up.
I care because I think that it's very awkward for a black anything to be partially owned by
another black
others.
Right.
And it's
partially.
Like, yeah, I mean, but seriously, like, because Essence was partially owned by
another company.
Another race. And the thing is, you're writing stories and trying to promote black culture, but it's like, what influences do you have in these articles and what's being put out because you are not black? You know what I mean?
I think that's what's been able to happen is they don't care about that because it's just about the dollar. So
right.
They're
producing. And black people are still out there buying Essence magazine, but now everything is owned and operated. And not to say that everything owned and operated by black people is great because I got a few things that aren't. But Essence magazine, Ebony magazine, those magazines need to be ours.
Agreed.
For us, by us.
Is Jet still now, ours?
No. Didn't Essence acquire one of those other magazines too, though?
Mm-mm. Or no, I don't know.
Because I thought Jet or somebody or Ebony got.
Maybe it was Jet because I thought it didn't exist.
One of those companies. So I think that guy who now bought Essence now owns both of those.
So, I mean, the fact of the matter is I think that it's important for nothing else to for these companies that are promoting black media and giving out black stories to have some influence by majority black people who can identify
that
with the experience.
Essence.
So I like it. I'm here for
extra
it.
Black because they can
do magazine. You know Essence extended. It's a full week now.
I'm sorry. Did you guys see, speaking of Essence,
I really want to know.
Did you guys see Regina King on the cover of Essence this week?
Doing it. So Essence is a week long. Alright, so anyway, did we care that
So yes, we care about Essence.
A key committee in Congress approves marijuana legalization bill.
That was in the House though, right?
Yeah, well, in the House. Yeah. It was the judicial.
No, I care because I'm glad it's making waves. But
I mean, now it has to go to the full House for a vote. It may pass, but it'll never make it out of the Senate.
I care because I'm here for the progress of medical marijuana.
The continued conversation about it.
Boom. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm happy that
I wanted it to be beyond. I wanted it to be beyond medical, though. I appreciate that it's there for people who need it. I need it to be recreational.
Me
seriously.
Too.
Because I want to know how that is going to affect. I want to know, once it's legal throughout the country recreationally, I want to know how that's going to affect the military and whether or not I can just pull out a pen and smoke and still be
maybe off
duty. A member of the. I mean, that's what I would do. Period. Like, why would I not?
Because some people, look, people are stupid. That's one thing I have learned.
I mean, it's just like alcohol. You know what I mean? Like, so I can't drink and be on duty either.
So you're...
Some people do that, though.
But then they need fire.
True. Agree.
So you care because...
I care.
You're interested in seeing how it...
I want it to be legal altogether.
I'm interested because Pennsylvania, for example, their medical... Because right now it's medical in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And now the only medical marijuana that you can buy has to be produced in Pennsylvania if you're buying it in Pennsylvania. So I'm interested because I'm curious to see how they're going to start regulating it. Because if they do open it up and make it recreational, which I think they should, obviously. And,
I mean, it will eventually. It just take it too long.
Did you?
How are they taxing
it? It'll be like cigarettes. They tax it in all these, in Colorado,
and
in Washington.
And where is the tax money going?
Different states it goes different
they're
places.
The school system,
right?
They cut a check for like $90 million after the first year and that shit. $90 million, can you imagine?
I support it.
Kids here can actually write their name front and back.
So clearly, not our ancestors definitely care about the fact that we want marijuana. Marijuana, period. Not just medical. We want marijuana to be legal. So, Khalees announced that Kaleidoscope is going on a 20th year anniversary tour.
Oh, I'm down.
I want to go to this concert.
You're talking about moments. I have a specific moment in time when that album was out, and I'm down to see that.
Why is Joy making this face? What's wrong with Kaleidoscope? You don't like Khalees?
She don't like a lot of shit.
Milkshake?
I have no problem with Khalees. I like Khalees. I just didn't.
I'm here for her
the
tour.
Album,
I'm
so
here.
I can't weigh in on
Khalees. Honestly, like, there's only a couple songs that I remember off that album, but the fact that Khalees is going on tour, I really want to go to this concert.
I'm here for her.
So
it's a concert that I would like to be high at as well.
I say that everybody should listen to the album again so that when it pops back around, y'all be out there getting it and doing it.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
So we care, I think.
I care.
Right?
Okay. I'm here for it.
Colin Kaepernick holds a training day for the NFL teams.
Ooh, bitch, I cared about that because so many people's mouths fell
update?
Through the floor.
I do. And
do
I,
we have an
it's
update?
Go
the
with,
I got an update, too.
It's going to go with my whether I care or not. And
okay.
So I was going to let y'all.
I know what the update is. Update is no team has reached out to him.
Okay.
That was obvious.
Well, there are like rumors that
rumors. Nobody has gone on paper and said.
But here's my problem. I cared. I was so excited.
Really?
I was excited that he was holding this whole event and like potentially could get picked up by a team.
Oh, I knew that one.
All that. Like, I was excited, and
I
promoted it.
Whether he did or didn't, it's about what him reaching out.
And I was excited that teams had like said we're gonna show up or we're gonna at least watch the video. Blah. Cool. Here's where I don't care anymore, and it's because of Colin.
Okay.
His whole rant afterwards. Talking about, like, you know, we're here, we're ready, the team, like, it's on you, it's in your, like, all that. We didn't need that. All we needed you to do is go out there, fucking perform.
See,
I didn't need none of that. Show them that you had the talent,
that
you stayed at the top of your game for the last 3 years since you've been out of the NFL. And shut the fuck up.
Okay.
Seriously, like, I mean, you got all of these people out here boycotting, not watching football because of you and your movement, which I completely agree with. Like, this is your opportunity to get back in. And most of us want you back in the fucking NFL. Now you go out there on television and you knock every fucking team and the fucking commissioner and you think you're going to get calls. That's why he ain't got no calls. That's why ain't nobody on paper.
Hold on. I'm not going to say that's not why he hasn't gotten calls because they're not going to put him back in the league.
I've read a bunch of articles and there are a bunch, not a bunch,
well,
but there's at least six teams desperately needing this skill.
Right,
yes, yes,
but
yes.
Did you read?
That's fine, but hold on. You're forgetting that who are the owners, right? So for them to, this is a conversation they had before. A lot of people are willing to cut off their nose to spite their face.
Correct.
So the NFL has demonstrated historically that they're willing to cut off their nose to spite their face. So the fact that this darkie is up here.
The assumption is, though,
doing all
Joy,
this.
That, like, all the team owners feel that way. And I feel like the majority do.
Right.
But I feel like there are a handful of them
they're
like, fuck
stupid,
you.
Right.
I don't care. We need a good QB.
And I need to make some money.
I'm going
to
make Because if I can make a, if I can make dollars off this Blackie, I'm going to make dollars off of him.
But the way that he
Because they're all in lock, though, they're not going to let him in.
Well, also, I think what Dante is saying is that the way that he came out of it was just like, with my hook, which is not anything wrong to say.
I showed you I'm the shit.
Listen.
And now you need to call me. Be ready. We waiting on the call.
I didn't know about the rant because the thing is,
have you seen the rant?
I did not see the rant. And the thing is,
you got to watch the rant.
I did not care when it first started only because I know this was just a fucking ploy by the NFL to try to make light of a situation. Then I was like, let me see what happens here because honestly, I don't see anything good coming out of it other than the fact that everybody who said, people just love to want to go to what are facts and to what is mystery. And they always want to hop out of mystery and say stuff like, well, he wasn't that good of a quarterback anyway. He didn't have the skills to blah, blah, blah. He was this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, why are you so willing to nobody said he was Michael Jordan in the NFL.
Right.
But everyone says like,
but look at some of the people you got as QBs right now.
And that's what they're saying.
So look at my lineup.
So my point was, when they actually showed his footage and how the reports came back to him killing it in that fucking training, I was like, that's the only thing I cared about because it cut out a whole other argument of motherfuckers and who could not just see what it was for what it was.
It should have stopped there.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. I think that if he would have just kept his mouth closed,
because
there may have been the slightest opportunity team to reach out to him. There's no part of me that fully believed he was going to get picked up by any of the teams. But there was a small piece of hope that I had, and it was crushed by Colin when he fucking started talking.
I mean, I think why we're talking about it on Not Our Ancestors is because we are thinking about things outside of just what it means for this immediate situation.
Or and what I think it just means for him. I'm talking about for us as people in general and the movement that you were...
This is why it's a conversation now, because you had an opportunity where you had set the stage. And everybody now
and
is
you showed your
in.
Ass out there.
Exactly.
Like, you showed your ass. And then you showed
your ass. Right. Yeah.
And that's why.
Well, sometimes you better be a donkey out in the field.
Yeah, like, but see, that's one of those moments I wish the ancestors would have came down and held him back. Like,
because once what happens is when you go across the fence and you act like a donkey after you have been now given an opportunity to rise of what is it? The cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
So you have a full stage, a full platform to go ahead and come out on top. All we need for you to do at this point, you have already made your political opinion.
You performed.
You have already made your political opinion well understood. We know where you stand. We understand your morals. We support you. So now go perform. Let your actions speak for themselves.
And let your agent speak for you.
And do not hop on social media.
He was in front of the news. There was cameras out there. Wasn't even social media. Asked him questions and he went on this tangent.
He was out of breath. He couldn't even get his words out. Out of breath.
Here's my example. So remember, Insecure, season 2. You had Sister Girl working with Molly at her firm and Molly was like, girl, you need to turn that down. Code switch. You got code switch at work. Oh, girl, I was top of this and I was doing this and they hired me and they seen who I was, all ignorant. And look what happens.
She got let go.
And gone. I haven't even seen that, but I...
You gotta see that
we're
episode.
Not doing that right now.
But we're not gonna do that right now. But my point is, all I needed you to do, because she had the skill, she had the education, she was top of this, top of that. She was the editor-in-chief of the law review at her university. She had the resume to be there. And she could have been a phenomenal attorney.
That's it, right?
But you let your fucking mouth get you in trouble. And that's what I equated it to with Colin. Like, he has the skill, just like she does. The difference is, they don't really, most of them don't want to give you an opportunity anyway.
Right.
So, like, you need to perform and show that you have the ability, and then they have nothing to say. It's like, he is a great fucking QB.
You know what?
But then, you open your mouth, and you show your ass and act a donkey.
I like that. In this whole conversation, already had a change of heart.
Well, let me just say this before you do, because this is my thing, and this is only I can only talk about the things that I am aware of. I was not aware of this rant. I did see people talking about it and saying subliminals without putting people's names and shit, and I was on Twitter. So I was just like, I ain't got time for this shit, because one thing I'm trying to work on is stop worrying about things that have nothing to do with me. But when it came to him, the process for him to even get to having this done was flipped in back and forth all day, day, day.
An opportunity to, like,
oh, yeah, because they had to move it and everything because they didn't want the media there.
So the thing is, they put the conditions, they set him up on conditions that were already fucking fucked up.
But he met them.
He fucking countered.
He met them.
Right,
countered. Okay, so then, once you meet them.
So all I'm saying is, this man is already going to this with a certain type of attitude, and he's an athlete. And most athletes, most of the time, they have a little bit about them where they are a little bit aggressive in nature when it comes to sometimes when they want to prove themselves on the field. All I'm saying is, I'm not going to fault that man for taking all this shit on his back, then doing it, and then slipping up one time.
See, and I get that. But the problem is, but it's what you want in the long run, right? I have this goal. I want to play for the NFL. That's my dream, is to get back in. So there are certain, I'm not saying that you need to change or not promote your protest, but what I'm saying is, you got to meet certain fucking requirements to work anywhere.
What you're saying is, and I think this is how, no, I'm not going to speak for y'all. I don't know what it is that you're trying to say specifically. Yeah, I'll correct you if you're wrong. You can go. But what I'm taking from this is, now as we're talking about it, like, I feel like a little bit of change in opinion, because yes, I agree that Colin Kaepernick had an opportunity that he is, quote unquote, squandered by acting like a donkey a little bit after the fact.
Right.
But at the same time, when you see an athlete who has been persecuted and whose ability has been challenged and chastised for as long as it's been, and then
living in mystery,
and then as they are given this quote unquote opportunity, they're supposed to act a certain way and be super grateful and just be quiet.
No, I didn't say grateful. I said I would correct you if you were wrong. I was with you until you said grateful. If you don't gotta act like you're grateful, right?
Be grateful.
This is my interpretation. So I feel like it's challenging for me when I see something like that, because I'm like, okay, Colin, why don't you just shut up? Like, you know, whatever. But then the flip side of that is, if somebody has literally given you the middle finger for as long as they have given Muhammad you the Ali. Middle finger, then you're a little bit well within your rights. So if you don't act accordingly, then I'm not necessarily going to, like, fault you for that. I do judge you because I wish that you would have been able to rise above
here's
it.
My counter.
But I'm not
here's
going
my
to
counter
necessarily
to
chastise
but,
this you.
Is
a, this no, Brady, be, I did not, I did not listen to the
here's
rant.
My counter.
So.
Here's my counter to what you're saying. Okay. Colin Kaepernick, that was just the wrong moment, is what I'm saying.
I agree.
Because
he
has a platform. He did not have to do it directly after you performed.
But emotions. Why are you acting
I'm
like
sorry.
Emotions aren't?
But
they're
emotions,
human
and,
too.
Exactly. But it goes back to being like, you know, you have a Second Amendment right to say whatever the hell you want, or First Amendment right to say whatever you want. You do, but there are consequences for it.
True.
So I'm not saying you gotta fucking be grateful for the opportunity. What I'm saying is, like, all right, once I get hired again, you think you're gonna shut me up again? I got a platform. When the game is over and we just won. And I'm playing for Pittsburgh Steelers. And we just won the fucking game. And it's the post-interview of the QB. I'm the QB, right? I'm the QB. And I'm Colin Kaepernick as the QB. We just won the game. And I'm like, y'all motherfuckers. But that's when you be a donkey. I got a contract. I'm signed. I'm getting paid. What you gonna do? Fine me? Fine. I'm still in the fucking NFL. I got what I want. You know what I mean? You kind of got to play the game.
Okay.
It's a game. It's a fucked up game, but
it's
even on different levels. We'll take Colin out of it. Just as us, as adults, we have to play the fucking game.
And playing the game is something I feel like African Americans have been tasked with doing.
Yes,
at
all
a level.
Time. All
one,
of our lives.
Not everybody's been tasked with playing the game all the time, but I think that African Americans have been tasked with doing it at a higher level. We have been tasked with smiling in adversity more than any other culture.
And there are always times where you let that shit go and you let it out. You act
so
the ass. You show your.
But haven't we all been in his situation?
Yes.
And
acting like a donkey.
And that's
yes.
what we're going to call it.
And that's
but you're 33 years old. You gotta learn.
But you can't learn unless
switch.
You fail. And if you make a mistake.
He failed when he let go.
No, he failed when he put all the black people on his back. That's when he failed, because nobody was there to
pick
him up.
Well, we failed him.
Right, so nobody was there to pick him up.
He didn't fail. We failed him.
Right, so.
Okay, so
all right, anyway, moving on. I'm sorry. We're not done. We got more. After losing the appeal, Brock Turner, the garbage can raper.
Oh, the one that got caught raping in broad daylight?
Yeah. Well, he got to register as a sex offender. He appealed, so he wouldn't have to, but he has to register.
What are you asking if I care about?
I don't care about him, and I hope that someone Never mind. Not even
I care to the extent.
What, rape him behind the booger?
I care because this is another example of the justice system making exceptions for white people. And it's another example of the levels of
protection.
Thank you. Provided for people with money or influence, or they come across with having a better
life. Ooh, I have a good question on this, but we don't got time.
So I care because this is again an example.
Okay.
Of the inadequacies of the fucking criminal justice system that we are now bound to participate in.
Because I want every bit of his life to be
public
destroyed as much as possible, and this is. This was an opportunity for him to possibly not have to do something that every other sex offender has to do.
Yeah.
Why don't you? So, good. You know what I mean? But, whatever. Lil Nas X becomes the first openly gay man to win at the CMAs.
Oh, well, I was going to say openly, yes, because I'm pretty sure there were some others.
I have a whole thing about that. Yes.
I don't care to elaborate.
I feel that Lil Nas X is a little bit of a minstrel show.
You sound like
Oh my god, we watching D.O. Hughley again.
Are you friends with Azealia Banks?
No.
A minstrel show?
A little bit.
How so?
I think that the
Is it because he's dark skinned and tall?
I'm dark skinned and tall.
He's darker than you.
I'm dark. Okay, we're not doing
that. Like, I just had to ask. I'm like, I'm trying to see what a minstrelness is.
Yeah, just because the thing about it is if you are a country singer and you happen to be African American.
He's not a country singer though.
Okay. If you are a musician and you're identifying with this genre of music, you essentially have become a reason for them to exploit it. Like, look at this little darky. We love him so much. He's singing country music.
But they do that to
and he's out there with Miley Cyrus's dad buying cars they can't afford. And it's just goofy.
He can afford the car.
It's goofy. I just don't. As we had a conversation earlier about real music, I don't want to hear his music.
You don't. First of all, and second of all, it's like if he was not openly gay, if he was just a black dude who did a country song, like I don't
then
think
I would be there for them because I have one of them on my Spotify.
But why? So the fact that he's gay is
makes the fact that he's making it out to be, and this is me. So I'm the only non-gay person in this room.
The Prince and Mitchell show.
I'm the only non-gay person in this room, right?
Yeah, so you better watch these words coming out your mouth.
No. So this is, when I'm looking at it, I see him as being an example when that it doesn't need to be an example. Why can't he just be an African-American who happens to like this genre of music and who happens to be homosexual and it just be that? Why do we have to highlight that and be like, oh, he's a good black homosexual?
You're saying the word is weak. The word is weak.
Who is
he? He's not saying, I'm gay, look at me, and I sing country. He's not doing
that. Okay, my rebuttal.
The media is doing that.
My rebuttal to you is,
well, then I have an issue with the media then.
My rebuttal to you then is, when they say first black person or first black woman or first woman, is that menstrualizing the person or is that just them identifying what it is that they said that they are?
If she's up there swinging a Maxi pad around, then yeah.
But that's not what he's doing.
So how is his where is the gay maxi pad at in his
every
visible?
Time he tweets something like, oh my, when he tweets stuff, does he not do the
he's a troll.
Right. Yeah, so if he's trolling
which is what Twitter
way, it's
yeah, because
that,
from no. He's a troll because people be fucking with him. And he's like, oh, and he trolls back. He's just responding to the bullshit
so
that's coming his way.
What's the difference between him and Kaepernick not rising to the occasion? Why can't he then set himself out and be like, I'm not a clown. Like, I just happen to like...
He did that. That was the whole reason he had that barbershop conversation with Kevin Hart. Like, he was like, dude, don't act like you don't know how it is for a black person to grow up where I grew up. Like, don't try to sit here and put me in a box. Like, you know how this is. I get that some people say, like, people say that about Lizzo.
About being a big girl and like...
My thing is, I think that people just are not used to an openly gay black person rising to the top and being successful.
A bigger black woman rising to the top
and being successful.
Right.
If that's
and being body positive.
My thing is, we have not seen...
So why is it that... Well, how can I support... Like, I support Lizzo. But what's the difference between me supporting Lizzo and me having an issue with Lil Nas X?
I don't understand why you have an issue with Lil Nas X and not with
Lizzo. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know. Maybe it's the like female.
It's the gay part.
The gay part.
Because look, honestly, also look. No, I just think you're missing.
Do you think I'm naive
No, I think that what you're picking up is remnants of how people are supposed to look at black masculine men. Okay, I feel like that because he flat is flashy and running around these things, he doesn't play like an instrument or sing very well. So it's not like you can't say he's princess, which is acceptable, which I don't know why that's acceptable because he's considered a legend. Whereas if a man is walking down the street dressed as prince, it's like that is bad. You know what I'm saying?
I just feel like people are, there are other artists, not doing country music, but other rap artists like Lil Nas X, who are out here that are buying the cars, flashing the money, showing their grills, acting the ass on video. And the only difference between Lil Nas X and those dudes is the fact that Lil Nas X is gay. That's
but
it.
I think
they're just as flashy and just as minstrel, man, at that point.
Hold on, but you're acting as if I don't categorize those as minstrel as well. Because we have spoken about it.
I know you can't consider
it. You know I hate a fucking brother. I'm sorry. And I put the ER on the end of that. It's not that I'm selective in choosing. I have come across, it doesn't matter if it's just like a gay individual. I've come across black women, like the one that we talked about last week, or I'm sorry, the week before last, when I was on the bus and I saw this woman being super inattentive to her son, and watching him with these cut up sweatpants on. And I'm looking at her in the same way, like, you are an embarrassment to black women.
Well, let me just say this. There is times where I feel like we all do that to each other. Whereas we are conditioned to think and believe one way. Like, I catch myself all the time saying stuff in my head, and I'm like, why the fuck am I thinking the fucked up thing like that about somebody? Right. And I have to then reflect back on why I feel that way and why it was taught to me that way. Is it even something that I should be concerned about?
No, it's not. It's not something you should be concerned about, because we all do it, not just blacks. Everybody.
Right. No, I'm just
saying. There are those white people who other white people are like, oh, look at this, you know, redneck or hillbilly or whatever, trash.
Like, I have a friend that doesn't specifically. We all do it. Like, he loves Billy Porter, but he doesn't like how Billy Porter dresses. He thinks it's going to hinder his career. And I was like, Billy Porter is doing exactly what Billy Porter
and
wants to do.
And his career is booming.
And it's he's showing you he can be successful while doing that.
Right.
And so, but I get it.
But no, it's fine that any of us,
but
it low-key judge people when we see it. Because I do it as well. Like, even being a police officer, I'm riding around. I could be riding around whatever.
Just
like,
my right. Right. It's like, we all do
I'm probably going to arrest him in a couple of years. You know what I mean? I've thought that. I've not said it out loud. I've not acted on it. You know, like, I've not done any of that, but I've done that on other races too. So I
mean,
feel
I've
bad
dated
insanity.
People, and I'm like, I'm going to have to put money on his books.
But back to
right. The last, the very last one.
The reason why I care is because the discussion of black people coming back over into a genre already created is coming back.
So it doesn't matter that he's gay. It's just jumped into a genre that is our genre.
It was already ours to begin with.
Are you talking about country music?
Yes.
Okay, so explain that, because you're not explaining it clearly. You care because he is now...
Because he is now... Breaking back he's into now showing... It's almost like back to how we had people like the Temptations and the Stylations. They're now showing kids that you cannot just... You don't have to just be trapped in one area of music. We have done tons of music across multiple genres.
We're all music.
Right. So we're now showing that here is Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish has been out there making money.
Yeah.
Right. Getting awards for this
stuff.
But it took this young man to come out here in a flashy, frilly outfit, trolling the hell out of America, talking about, I'm going to make a country song because he knew it was going to sell.
Okay. Well,
so very last thing. Very last. Monique is still on Netflix.
Good for her. Whatever.
I feel like it's the same. I do care.
No, this is a menstrual show.
I do care. I do care because I feel like she is like has some of the Colin Kaepernick shit, but she's be donkeying way more than he does.
She's a donkey.
She's gonna,
I think that her talent and her like catalog of
she's
work.
She's acting
her
like she
body
doesn't
work,
have talent.
Right.
Yeah.
Her body of work, I think that what she's trying to do is make an example, which I appreciate, because that's how we affect change. So great. Go ahead and do that, girl. But like also maybe pick a different talent. Because we have a lot of other things going on right now, and maybe it's not that important that you get recognized for
because
your talent.
She is suing them on race and gender discrimination. Girl, they have but they have black people and other women.
She's talking specifically
about
pay.
And there's receipts, though. That's the thing.
Right. So she has a valid point in saying that the African-American, the black people, the people of color who produce things, the non-males who produce things for Netflix
get paid,
do, on average, get less compensation for their contributions when it actually turns out that they bring in the most revenue. So I get it. So here's
the question.
So I'm just saying, girl, go ahead and toss your hat into that ring. But maybe don't do it right now as we're trying to get like a whole generation up out of fucking poverty and beat Donald Trump.
Also, but I don't like that only because
residuals right now,
we can do more than one thing.
I don't care about your residuals.
We can do more than one.
More than one thing more important than Monique's residuals.
True, but Monique is focused on Monique and the shit she has to get accomplished for Monique. So like, it's not taken away from us getting rid of Donald Trump. Paying attention to the election, going to work every day, dealing with our kids. I can do all that and still kind of chuckle at Monique and her lawsuit. And my question is, what happens if she wins, though? Then everybody will be like, oh, see, Monique did.
Exactly.
Everybody will be rapping for her. But right now, everybody's like, look at this bitch.
At the end of the day, this is what's going to happen. She's probably going to lose. But she's going to lose, and everyone else is going to gain.
So what happens if she settles? Like, they settle, and we don't know what it is.
Ooh. Okay, so here's the thing.
Like, that might happen, too.
And then again.
That would be a continue.
And you're forgetting that, like.
That's true.
What is on what basis is she suing them? Is this a civil litigation? Because civil litigation is very different. Right. So she can come to an agreement with these people behind the closed doors.
They can settle.
So it's like
turned down the first settlement.
Timing. All I want is timing. That's all I want. I'm focused on other shit.
I don't really care. So
that brings me up to my digital. Anyway.
But at this point, you gotta understand, this is her just throwing it at the wall, and I hate to say that because she went against Tyler, Oprah, the whole white Emmy system.
But if she just takes a break, if she just shuts up, like I was calling it, Kaepernick means to shut up. If she would just shut up for a little while. She would get another offer. Monique is talented. She's hilarious. She's a good actress. She could fucking. She would get another role or another opportunity to do stand up.
I just want to know.
Take a break.
I just want to know what was exactly said or done that caused the blackball. That's all I'm
about.
All
right, Joy got a DigiCare.
Here's my DigiCare before we go on a tangent. This was just funny to me because.
Is that United Way?
Mind your business. So this was funny to me because advertising in general, right? We're in an era where social media has such a crazy impact on voter turnout, where we're in an environment where social media and every campaign is specifically designed to sway voters and like blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So did y'all hear about that cute little initiative that South Dakota had where they were coming against their incredibly rising meth epidemic?
Yes.
That is hilarious.
I'll read it to you.
Meth. We're on
it. It says the mission of their campaign this week is to raise awareness to get people talking about how they can be part of a solution, not just a problem. So meth, quote unquote, we're on it, was a $449,000 anti-meth campaign.
Here's what it did for me.
$449,000.
I'll never go to South Dakota.
Oh!
All right, well.
Because y'all are on meth, and I ain't got time for it.
I sure don't.
So you just lost. I mean, what do they have? Is that where Mount Rushmore is?
I'm not really good on geography.
Okay. So her.
Because that would be the only reason I would go.
So the governor's idea was to say, she was basically calling out and saying, like, okay, well, we have people who are on meth, and instead of trying to shy away from it, we want to make it so that you can have a conversation, an open dialogue, and bring meth to the table and say, meth, I'm on it, I'm dealing with it kind of thing. And I just thought, somebody should have had a grammar lesson with you a little bit because the inflection, it gives a different story. So on Twitter,
it's not even an inflection. Is it meth, comma, we're on it?
It's meth, period. We're on it, period. Okay, so I just wanted to shout out real quick some of the funny tweets that I saw.
Look, I don't care because
what?
I don't care about this. They are on it, not me. I don't have any interest in going to South Dakota any longer, so I don't care.
Well, I don't
and
care
stay
for
on
it.
Your math. And also,
I mean, the idea is to educate them on addiction.
Why do they care? Let me ask her if she's on meth.
They didn't care when the crack epidemic
was spreading. Well, and that was an issue in South Dakota.
But why should I care now?
Because it's going to have a global impact.
So did crack on my economy.
And nobody
gave. And so what is it? Are we not, cutting off the nose by the face? Or are we trying to make some
I don't care because it doesn't really affect my community.
It's going to.
We smoke weed.
It's And on that note, look, we are going to come back with a tell politic. You something.
Statistically, there are very few blacks on meth.
It's true.
It migrates, right? It starts out as meth. Meth transitions. So it's a gateway drug? No, right. It starts out as an issue with meth. And what do people addicted to meth do? They perpetuate crime. And then we have an influx
in South Dakota, crime. Where I don't live.
Oh. It migrates. What do you think? We all living in little hovels.
Okay. Those meth people are not leaving South Dakota. Because their labs are like in the country. Well, I don't know under where Mount their Rushmore. Labs
are. So we're going to finish. We're going to finish this up. And when we get back, we're going to come back with our politics.
Stay in South Dakota.
In a Western Meth episode.
Wait, no. Meth, I'm not on it.
All right, bye. Bye.
We're back, politicking.
Politicking.
And I'm excited because this week's politicking is super close to home. And off the air, we have been having some very heated conversations about it. So, off the gate, y'all want to give a little preface to what we're talking about? Or is it on me?
It's you.
No.
This is your story.
I mean, I could just say that it deals with relations of people at work.
So here's my thing, right? We are all of the generation of millennials. We all have gone to college. I'm talking about all of us.
I'm not a millennial.
Your date of birth. Okay, no, we're not doing it. So my point is... So,
told you, I'm in the middle. I'm in the gray. Like, I'm a zennial.
So I had a conversation earlier this week as somebody of that quote-unquote generation. And it basically challenged me to make a decision between being a good family person and being a good employee. And it, you know, it put me in a very compromising position because I had to weigh out the opportunity of never having a paycheck, quote unquote, which is what my boss said to me, as I'm sitting on 2 degrees. But, you know, the conversation came about as you chose to put your family first. And I decided to not go to work one day this week because my son has pneumonia and I decided to choose family first, right? So now as a millennial, I've been at this company for 10 years. Again, I have gotten 2 degrees in the process of working for this company. And I was faced with the decision to choose caring for my family and going to the shop. And as I had to play and weigh this out, it became so apparent to me that we as millennials, sorry, Dante, you're not included, but we're in a position where we have a 60% growth in income. But at the same time, we are more than 50% at a deficit when it comes to people at our age range making the same amount of money as we did back in their generation. So we have millennials who are on average worth $8,000. You know what I mean? They have $8,000 or less in their bank accounts because they have upwards of hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And then they find themselves in these employment opportunities. Like I found myself at the time, I felt so blessed. Like, great, I have this job. I have a 401k, super secure. And then 10 years down the road, I'm faced with adversities and my same employer is looking at me like, well, you better choose wisely. And to me, that was a very wide awake, eye-opening experience because I never thought that I would be having that type of conversation with an employer that I had been with for 10 years, right? And so, I mean, what I wanted to politic today about was, number one, the fact that millennials, because we are saddled with an exorbitant amount of debt, we find ourselves in positions of employment where we do feel lucky and privileged to have them. Wes, I know you have worked for a company for longer than 10 years because you've worked there longer than I did.
Shade.
You know what I mean? Not, it's not shade.
Shade.
It's just a matter of fact, right? But right. Then what do we have to show for it? And it's very little. Right. And, you know,
I have one good aspect to show for mine. And
this
I can't
week
touch
I
it,
had to,
good.
This week I had to basically reconcile the fact that while I was attempting to like create this long work history and this longevity of employment that demonstrated that I was like a good employee, when I actually needed them to kind of step up to the plate and like make allowances, they were like, oh no, girl, you lucky to have this job. And to me, it threw me for a loop. So my whole thing is this week, it threw me into the spiral of like understanding why it is that millennials, because at the time that I was presented with this quote unquote decision, somebody brought to the discussion that I was talking to about it, like, well, girl, you have a master's degree. Like, I don't understand why you're sitting here so afraid of, you know, the next chapter. And it's because of the political, or I'm sorry, not the political, it's because of the economic climate that millennials have found themselves in.
Well, I think that like a big deal is a lot of millennials, and a lot of reason like older generations don't appreciate or like millennials, is because you will up and quit a job. Like, fuck y'all. Like, yep. Peace. Mm-hmm. Because I have degrees, you know, and I have skills that I can move on to somewhere else.
Right.
The good thing, I hear what you're saying in regards to like the economic aspect of things, but the good thing is you currently do have a job. So you can, I know you want to get out of there now as quickly as possible, but you can take your time and find a job, yes, that's going to pay you equivalent or better.
And suit you in a place.
And then be like, fuck you. I mean, for example, I always say that I am on the fence between Generation X and Millennial. And like, I always thought that I would get a degree, find a job, and I'll work there the rest of my life.
Exactly.
But I am currently on my fifth, like, job. I won't say career. I'm in my career now. It took me a while to get there. And there was one job that I had where I was underappreciated, and I got so fed up. I didn't even have a job lined up, and I was like, fuck y'all. I'm done. I quit. Mm-hmm. Flat out, I'm done. And like, most people in older generations ain't gonna do that. Exactly. So it's nice that like you are of an age where like you're confident enough to be like, fuck y'all, I'm gonna go look for another job, and you're gonna kiss my ass, and you're gonna be upset that I left.
I honestly,
but the thing about it too though is it's at such a great, and the thing that makes it difficult for people, and I would say the millennial generation, to do is because it's at such a high cost, right? So you can make that decision. Yeah.
Okay.
You can make that decision.
What's the cost though? If you find a job that's equivalent in pay or better, what's the cost?
And this is, and I think what Dante is hitting on is, I feel like, so I was born in
'80. Fuck them.
I was born at a time where I'm like next to Dante, where I'm in between. And what did it to me, before we get to what the cost is because I want to turn it into this, I was taught the same thing. You get a job, you get a degree, you get a job, and you work to that place as long as you
and
can
retire
work.
From
you
it.
Get your retirement, you have your family and your kids, and boom, done. Well, we came out when Barack Obama got elected, and the market was terrible, and nobody could get a job nowhere. So if you got a job, I was
you were lucky.
Right. So, right. So I'm realizing that the ancestors have afforded me an ability to get something in a climate where nobody is getting nothing.
Correct.
Because of my networking.
So at that time you were lucky.
Right. I was lucky.
Right.
So I had a job. Right. But now, I did the same thing. You know why? Because I saw that the old Reich no longer existed. When they started cutting people in a company that had been there for 30, 40 years, and those people were crying, literally crying, because they say, how am I going to pay my mortgage? I got a kid in college. They threw them people away like it was nothing. And them people started there when they were 15. And that's when I realized there's something I have. They're giving me an option now. I can go take these skills somewhere else, but you just give me this time period skill that I'm supposed to need on my resume. Boom, I'm out. But then when I left that job, when I reached the ceiling due to other political and foreseen economic reasons there, I quit my job too. And I let that heifer know when I did that I could flip 2 cheeseburgers today and be back in your position in less than 2 years. And she said to me, how dare you say that? I said, that's the truth. And you make sure you write that down on my record. And you know, when I resigned after I got my salary increase. That Friday I got my salary increase. That Monday I put my resignation in. And I had to let them know it wasn't about the money. It was about respect and my ability to move in this company and make more money for y'all.
And
y'all
move took anywhere.
And y'all it's took the politics over the it. Money. You took the politics over me, excelling your department, putting you up on a pedestal, giving you an opportunity for promotion. You took politics over me. And that's when I realized that I was done. Now, the cost is what you're talking about is, you talk about financial, you're talking about your sanity. You're talking about your health. You're talking about missing out on opportunities and experience in life. That's the cost. But think about it. Our ancestors did not always have that ability.
They had to suck it up.
There you go.
You don't.
So, and that's exactly why I want to talk about this today, because now we're at a, like, a critical place, because yes, we do have to pay homage to the sacrifices that other people made, and they did have to suck it up. And I had a conversation with my office, our general manager, whatever. I had a conversation with him, and this is probably 2 years ago, and it was about a situation that wasn't necessarily similar to this one, but in actuality, like, I was not wrong, but the powers that be saw it as a compromising situation. So, quote unquote, as he put it, this white man who has no degrees put to me, the young black girl with multiple degrees, sometimes shit just rolls downhill and you just have to eat shit.
That's true.
And you said,
that's fine. I'm not eating no shit.
Right. I remember this conversation. We had this one.
So if it's going to roll downhill,
there better be somebody under me.
Boom.
I hope that you have a fucking truck, because I'm not doing this.
You
right?
See these degrees?
It says that I don't have to do this. I have 30 fucking grand that says I don't have to eat this shit, right? But then we find ourselves in these situations, and I am so resentful of the fact that this was a conversation I had to have this week, because
it put a fire under
it. It put a fire under my ass for sure. But then also it was a reminder that I'm not just doing it for, like, me. I'm not doing it because this white woman has insulted me and I feel like I have to show her my ass. But I'm having these same conversations with Christian about rising to the top and about being the best and about not making sacrifices and all of this stuff. And I recognize in this week that I have been cutting Doing corners myself.
Yeah. See, so here's my thing. Two things. One, the ancestors had to suck it up, so we don't. I don't have to suck this shit up. I don't have to eat your shit. I don't have to deal with your bullshit. I can literally tell you off, pack my shit up and roll today.
Yep.
Yes. I'm fine because I have multiple degrees. I have experience.
Yep.
I have talent, intelligence. I have all this shit that I can offer the next company down the road. Number two, I worked for the same company you worked for, Wes.
I remember. Yes.
And I remember thinking, when I had that job, one, I'm lucky to have this job at this major corporation.
And that's where we are conditioned numbers, to be.
Right, and it took me...
We are so lucky.
4 years to realize. But like I realized we are so lucky.
Hold on, real quick. I'm sorry, not to cut you off. But this is another thing that I had in this conversation with my boss, where she was like, you were sacrificing not having a paycheck for the rest of your life. And I said, well, it was the expense it taking
the rest of my life though?
Right, exactly. I said it was at the expense of, number one,
that's worse than calling you vapid.
Exactly. It was at the expense of taking a little brown boy to school, making sure another brown man has some peace, and then taking care of another little brown boy. And if you think that me having to make that decision, like, you think that I'm doing something outside of my character, I was like, okay.
This decision was easy.
Anybody with logic would have done what you did.
Yeah. And then, like, I said,
anyone who cared about their family would have done what you did.
And then I said, the fact that I'm having to have this particular conversation is very indicative of the fact that we don't understand the same things. Because the one, the white woman who told me,
the text message that I read to you, that's the problem. Y'all, the text message that I received,
saying X, Y, and Z, what I should do. And then her then having the audacity.
That should meant she didn't understand you.
Do you know, and you know why I'm 100% agreeing with Dante is? Because what she said to you, she took from prior conversations and then included that into a boss talking to their employee and shaded you and then read you for filth. And on top of it, I don't know if you caught this, she showed you your cost in that text message.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which was undervalued.
Yep.
And that's why I think...
When you tell me in the same breath that I hope that your son is okay, but it's in your best interest to get your ass out of here.
Bitch, I ain't nobody's slave. You
got me fucked up. Boom. You clearly don't know me. I've worked here for 10 years. You clearly don't know who the fuck I am.
And I would have never said that to her.
Because you got the wrong bitch.
I would have never said that to her as her roommate when we were living together. You know what I'm saying? So can you imagine this lady saying that in the environment where she didn't think she was going to get her wig snatched off?
I'm surprised she didn't think she was going to lose her life. It's exactly
what that's what I'm saying.
Where she was bold, but she said it in a text. She ain't saying face to face.
That's what I said.
So it's protection.
Okay, so here's
she knew that wig was going to get blown the fuck off.
Right. All the way, bitch. I will will drop kick you in the throat. So here's my thing. I resent the fact that as quote unquote millennials, whatever, we are in a very like compromising economic place. It sucks.
Okay,
like,
but everybody has a disadvantage to the era they were born in, and they have to grow up in. I would say don't use that as a crutch. I hate that they keep doing that to millennials where they say like, oh, this, that, but like, we grew up in an era where we had to use maps before there was a MapQuest. Rotary phones before there was digital phones. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Had to
like,
hit a button three times to get a letter.
Thank you. And so, oh my God, if it was a seven, Jesus Christ. Like,
right.
But you know what? We adapted.
Here's what I'm going to say to millennials, though. Honestly, because and I thought it was like, understood. I thought this was understood. Like, I get the economic climate that the United States that we're in currently, but if you currently you got a degree or degrees, you currently have a job.
Put some S on my name, bitch.
You can literally maybe not quit this minute, but you could find you another job in this climate.
And that suck it up. Just is hold, that?
Just what you're sucking up is the period of time from when I want to leave to when
petty.
I get hired to the next job.
And this is what we call being petty. It's called being petty.
And hold on,
I'm going to sit right here and smile on your face.
Uh-huh. No, but that's but what
my,
she...
Boom. My resignation letter is on my screen. All I got to do is hit print it and sign it.
And fit.
That's
but
it.
That is what she was calling me out for. In actuality, sure. You know what? It doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't matter.
Thank you.
However,
thank you.
The issue is you feel that as my employer, you're in a position to dictate what I do at a level because I have now been pigeonholed into this awful economic situation based on
that
our
you allowed yourself
government.
To be in.
No. I'm talking about student loans. That's beyond that. I'm talking about
but the thing
our
is,
whole...
I'm not pigeonholed. You are not pigeonholed.
I know that. I'm talking about her interpretation of this.
Right. That's why I said she got you fucked up.
Exactly. So this is my whole argument. I had a whole week of having to reconcile this and be like, okay, wait a minute. I was totally disillusioned. I don't know what the fuck got my mind, you know what I mean, so confused. So now I'm having this conversation and now I'm resentful. I'm not only like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and turn my nose up and say, you can kiss my ass. But now I'm resentful and I feel bad that it took me so long to recognize my fucking
See, and that's
mind.
What I was saying earlier
like,
before
that's bullshit.
I was nicely interrupted.
You should be happy.
I was at your company before and it took me 4 years to realize that like, I'm worth way more than this bullshit. And what it was, I'm going to tell you what it was.
I'm still there.
Performance evaluations, you brought that up earlier. Mm-hmm. I had my performance eval. I'm fucking killing it. I'm working, you know, between 15 and 20 projects, each project worth $1.5 million or more. I'm fucking killing it at this shit. Bitch, you got the right one. Because I'm the one. I know how to do this job. So I walk into my performance eval all excited. Like, man, they're about to give me this good, like, $2, you know.
I
sit down, I'm listening, and he's going through everything. I'm like, man, this shit sounds good. I'm patting myself on the back while he's talking. Like, yeah, that's right. How much you giving me? A quarter.
Yup.
I was going to say 15 cents.
You going to give me I was sitting like.
Not 15
cents.
I thought 15 cents.
I if you could see my face right now, people. Like, I literally gave them that face like, you got to be fucking kidding me. 25 cents?
Yeah.
So then I was like, okay. Like you said, Wes, they pulled out the metrics. And
yup,
like,
metrics.
This is the way it breaks down. And you're doing very well. And I really appreciate
Meanwhile,
your
you
hard
was killing
work.
It.
But I'm bringing in
exactly.
the money.
Exactly.
Right? So I was like, cool. No problem. I was like, thank you very much. Took my quarter, right?
Mm-hmm. And went right
I went
there.
To my computer. I started typing. You know what I typed? My resignation letter. Saved it to my desktop.
Boom.
And then I immediately called the United States National Guard.
So I'm coming back.
And I said, hey, I need some orders. They cut me orders 2 weeks later. I submitted my fucking resignation letter. And I was like, peace. Fuck you. First of all, I already have a job currently. The National Guard. That if I work here year round, I'm making more than six figures.
Right.
I'm making double what I make here, bitches. And you gave me a quarter? No, I could put on a uniform and go and make $100,000 with my eyes closed. Doing shit that is even easier than the shit I'm doing here. Fuck you.
Okay.
And I roll. And that's what you gotta do as a fucking woman.
I agree.
Hold on. Before we get too carried away, like y'all are emotional about this shit.
No, because
than
we
I am.
No, because I think what it shows
we've been there.
Is that It's not even just a discussion about millennials, because we're like in that gray area. And I can tell you straight, when I came out of college into the market, there was already a disdain for young people. And I get it.
I want to take it out of the conversation about millennials. Yeah. I want to talk about
It's not just millennials. It's just young people. The youngest generation just get it. Like,
because number one, the younger generations, they have more capabilities. So they have bigger assets. So they can ask for more money. Right, but they're also in the biggest deficit, so they're also subject
which is why they're so bold to ask for things that other people would not do.
Which is why they're subject to getting the least amount of pay, and then you know, couple this with the cost of living, the cost of taxes, it's a fucking crippling situation. And I this week have come to the decision that, like, at the end of the day, this was a very namaste moment for me. It was a very namaste moment for me, but quite honestly, if it comes to essentially putting value in the things that makes, or I'm sorry, my personal opinion, the things that you value, putting effort into that, like, I don't care. I could be broke. I could be poor. I could be living in destitute, like destitution and poverty. I will prefer to do that black. Than
might
to
even
have
be
to,
ugly.
But I won't be broke.
But I just don't want to subjugate myself, you know.
Here's my thing. Like,
this level anymore.
The point, like, that I was making earlier, it still holds true with what you're saying right now. Like, our ancestors, our grandparents, our great grandparents, they worked as maids or in the factory or whatever, and they knew.
Or had speakeasy.
And they had, families. You know, usually husband and wife, usually multiple kids, like 6, 7, 8 kids, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And they had to provide for that family. And the thing is, it's like, I can't lose
and jobs.
I have to go back to Mr.'s house or Mrs.'s house. I got to scrub these floors. I got to take care of their babies. And I got to get this money because I got to support this family. Because they didn't have the option.
And
now
this was the same way that this woman came to me this week.
Because they don't think.
She said, what if you never have another paycheck again?
Wait, she did that?
What if you
It goes right back to what Dante just said.
You decided to be there for your family, but you weighed out whether you would never have another paycheck.
I am not my ancestors.
Excuse me, bitch. I have two fucking degrees.
We are not our ancestors. Okay, right. I don't have to stay here and deal with this bullshit.
Listen, and see, okay, so in this, I have another incident. So working, we'll do this to you as a young person. So after I quit that job, right? And this is, like you say, live and learn. I did some donkeying. I had my money saved. I had about 6, 7 months of savings up for all my bills, right?
Good.
I decided that I was going to do what Wesley wanted to do, which was, I'm going to sit back and relax and think about what my next step is. Now I know if I ever do this again, instead of partying every night, I will go and travel and see the world and learn about cultures. Because I feel like that would done me better than what I did. But I was young. I did what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I did everything I was supposed to do. I got the job I was supposed to get. I was supposed to get that promotion. I was supposed to be probably an executive at this point and moving from this company to a whole nother company, but politics got in the way and stereotypes got in the way and people seeing that I was on the rise, jealousy got in the way.
True.
So I took, my ego got the best of me, and I just told that person about herself, and I rolled. And now when I rolled, when it was time to get back to work, a bitch is not concerned or scared about getting dirty. My family has always taught that at all work is good work. If you collecting a check
and
you ain't hurt nobody, that is good work. But you should know your worth. So I went and got a dishwashing job. That's when I started working at Mad Max. And while I was there, I decided I need to get some more money because my expenses that I had then are not as now. So I'm not, you know, concerned. I go and get a job back at the hospital. This time, low level position, right? Nobody knows I'm there. I decide I want to go on a cruise. Now, I'm new at this company. Do you know how that goes at a new job? You're at the bottom of the totem pole for time off. Requesting things can be an issue. Mm-hmm. I'm still a little bit older, but still young in this area of this department where people who are older than me are still in positions of power. So I go to my boss. I ask for a period of time off to go on a cruise. It's like a 9-day cruise. Right? Mm-hmm. So I do that. She approves it. It comes back denied. How is it denied when you approve it? She's like, oh, in our department, the director approves everything. A lady who does not see any operation that goes on in this facility approves time off. So she has no idea how many people it takes to run every shift in all the departments that she runs. Mm-hmm. She said, yes. I said, oh, okay. So I go to her and I say, excuse me, you deny my stuff. We are fully covered and staffed for me to be off. She said, well, you're new and the staffing holiday schedule is full and I can't really do line 9 days. I was like, I have the time. The department is full. She said, let me look at it. I mean, it's covered. She said, you know, I'm just going to get in to prove it. You know, I went over back and I talked to you about it. She was like, you know, I just want to let you know you're new. And, you know, what would have done if I just kept it? Now you'd have been out all that money because I had bought my cruise ahead of time. I said, I'd have been on all my money.
I just want to run on my cruise.
I said, no, bitch, I'm going on the cruise. I had another job. You know what I'm saying? There's an idea about young people, and I'm going to go there before I go to black young people. That we will do anything because an older person told us that.
We've been put or into a position where we job. Need it. Right. And that's the conversation and that I've had. I feel very perplexed because at one point when you were applying to college, right, as everybody did in the early 90s, it was like, you can do anything that you want to do. And this degree is going to set you up for
early
the 90s,
world. You said we're applying to college, you're trying to shade us?
So you are set up to a world of doing whatever you want to do, right? So you graduate in 2000, you go to college, 2006, that's when I went to college, and you have all kinds of opportunities open to you, right? But then you ask these 17-year-old people to come and choose what you want to do for the rest of your life,
right?
Right, which automatically is a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
So then they do, and then they are saddled with this debt. And then they find themselves
that's
in
a
workplace. And then they find themselves in a workplace where they are making less money, 67% less than the people in the baby boomer generation have made at our same ages.
Then move on.
How is it that you, where is it that you find the courage to be able to step outside of this those positions of employment where you have been comfortable? You've been there for 10 years.
Stop being comfortable. That's
right?
It.
But if you have children, if you have dependents, it makes it more complicated.
I've been there.
Right?
Stop being comfortable.
That's the conversation.
Right.
That
that's
I'm
what
gonna
I'm saying.
Have.
That's
and
my explanation.
No, and I
that's
feel like response. And I feel like this is a conversation should be had rather than people saying millennials and boomers and blah blah, blah this, that bullshit. My thing to you is like anytime that I have been tasked with having that mentality on, is I think about what my mom and my dad had to go through just to get me to where I'm at.
Okay, so Wes, here's my question. After all of that, where are you at right now?
The same company.
Why?
Because right now it is financially stable for me to do so.
That's a choice.
It's a choice. But
are you happy?
But you can move on. It's the point.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And I'm not all the way happy, but there's the difference is I made a promise to myself. I am on a 5-year plan on my way out the door.
Right.
Okay.
And the reason is I can do that is because I have set myself up in this situation that was comfortable for me to allow myself to have the space to do it now. When I was 24, 25, had I done that then, I would have been way farther than I am right now in my career. But that's because of living and learning through life.
But here's the thing that I want to introduce again to it is that the fact that you're able to plan that is a luxury, right? Some people enter into relationships and circumstances find themselves upon the person. So
yeah, but that's
I could
not
have
the
a
job.
Whole,
that's
hold
all
on.
Of your
I could
circumstances
have a whole
playing
into 5-year plan, right? Set up. And then I enter into a relationship, and then it's a different
But why divert from the plan?
So
pause,
because
though. Wait.
Because
diverting
from
saying.
The plan is the only thing to keep your existence afloat, right? So if you have to divert from the plan, which would be me then sacrificing my
The plan is always good. The plan is always good because the plan it reminds you of what your goals are. It does not mean that you have to follow it to a T. Life is going to ebb and flow. So if you're going to add a relationship to it, the goal still is for Joy to do X or Y or Z.
And
like
now you're adding in life.
Yeah.
Not just the job.
Yes.
I initially was speaking on just the job. And it's like, but if you want to add in life, that's fine as well.
Yeah.
Because you do got to ebb and flow, like you said. Like, the first time I ever quit a job flat out, same day, no resignation letter, I'm just gone, was
Finger
terrifying.
Up.
And I was
Hell
probably
yeah.
like 25 or 26.
I
and I had a 7-year-old kid. And I'm like, I got rent. I got a car note, I got insurance, I got her health shit to deal with, I got school tuition to pay for, and I fucking quit my job.
Yep.
Like, bye. Y'all aren't valuing me enough. I'm unappreciated. You don't respect me. You think I'm a slave, and I'm not. Kiss my ass. I'm gone. Scariest moment of my life.
Yep. But terrifying. I learned a whole lot.
But then I ended up at your company, and I ended up, like, and I'm kind of feeling like I understand where Joy's coming from, too, because I stayed there because I experienced that fear at that one point. You know what I mean? I was terrified that I'd quit my job on spot. So, like, now I'm like, fuck, I got to figure out how to get all this shit done. I started using my savings and all that. I get this new job with your company. And now I'm like, I tolerated a lot of shit for years. And that quarter was the last bit of it. I was like, you know what? I've done this before. I fucking survived. I'm moving the hell on. Right. Period. That's it. But thankfully, at that point, I had learned from experience, let's not just quit right now. Right. Let's know in your head that you are leaving this fucking piece of shit job. But they're paying you right now. Wait till I find this next job and then move on. That's the whole point I was trying to make is that, right, like, you don't have to stay in your situation. You might have to stay temporarily,
right,
in your situation because you got a family, you got a kid, you got a household to take care of. You can't be without pay, but you could be going there biting your tongue as much as possible because I know that shit ain't easy. Biting your tongue and fucking online at work applying to other jobs because I did that shit. Like, I'm gonna apply to this job right here at this. You know what I mean? Like,
can we make an additive section to our other podcast? Yeah, like make another one. Call it "How Is It That You Bite Your Tongue in Certain Situations."
That's a whole new segment.
But right. I agree.
But that's and just how you do it. And it's like you're a millennial. Take the whole generation out of it. Like you said, you have degrees. The bottom line is you are employable. You have work experience now. It's not like you're fresh out of college. That plays a part too. That makes a difference as well. But you have 10 years of experience. You have multiple degrees. You are intelligent. You can find another job. Stick with this piece of shit for now. But no, like by next
subscribe
year.
Subscribe and share.
But no, right. try to come up with other income streams, i.e. not our ancestors. Make that shit pop. And get paid that way. You know what I mean? Like, you just
I agree. And that's why I have conversations with my besties. Thank you, guys.
That's the point. That's what I'm saying.
But like, the thing that just shocked me the most about this conversation, like, not that about you didn't this kill conversation. Her? No. Well, of course I'm not going to kill her. But the fact that they were so comfortable, in their opinion, dangling, like, livelihood.
How old is this woman?
1,000. I don't know. She's dead.
No, seriously. Like, just
because I'm not being suspicious.
That might be the reason why she's
1,000. No, right. Like, if she's 1,000, so I'm gonna say
you look
like
at her
70.
Right now, she'll crash my computer.
I don't
want to
know specific. You can't stand
it'll be straight dust.
The reason I asked her age is because she is of a generation. The reason she responded to you the way she did is because she is of a generation where our grandparents had to suck it up.
Boom.
And she thinks because who you are and the complexion of your skin that
I
you had
so
to suck
confused.
It up as well.
And
she is confused. Literally, that's why I said she got you fucked up. She's looking at you like you one of your ancestors.
From
I am fucking Joy, bitch,
shirt.
2019. And you can kiss my entire ass.
The big one. The Lizzo ass.
Listen, ooh, she, thank you. Remember, right. First of all, she knew that she wasn't her ancestor because she knew if she wouldn't have to say that to the ancestor that was ours.
She would
have
been at work.
Boom.
She would have been at work.
And that's what she was saying.
But she was confused, like, oh my,
and this,
I'm
and
so
this,
surprised
and this is the
that
thing
you
is,
weren't here because
and the thing is,
these, what are you going to do without ever making another check again?
And these are the same people, who will sit here and be fighting for your rights, talking about equal rights and all this stuff, but then it comes down to stuff like this, and they're like, you should have had your
black ass. And the thing is,
let me just cap this all off, because at this point, I don't even make me here if I'm doing another politicking, but
oh, no, I'm getting mine.
I want to just cap my thing off with, thank y'all for being my riders, being my black soldiers,
because they had you fucked up.
Because they definitely had me fucked up.
They had me fucked up.
But I just want to again just illustrate the hilarity level that this conversation came with. Okay, so
you know how to text?
Oh no, it was more.
Don't read
that.
The text, please.
I'm not gonna read another text, but. So we had a conversation and I said, well, you know what?
She said she was dust.
she's dust. I'm sorry.
Every time I think of like a compact that opens, you're like, damn.
And then you go,
oh, God damn it. How old is this compact? Like,
it's
not even solid
no
more.
It's under my nails. Okay, anyway, you know what? I'm not even going to do that because I'm so happy that I have y'all to talk this out with. And
we're here for this.
I'm excited to see where you end up next.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is I
good feel like this interview. Was a very. You got an interview already. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. You apply for a job, got a fucking interview already. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. We're going to take a break. We'll do some MBBs.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys.
Bye.
And we're back with Most Valuable Black.
Most Valuable Black.
MBB.
MVP.
Brought to you by NOA.
Yes.
All right, who's going first?
I'll go first.
All right, go ahead.
So I have a little baby one. When I say a baby one, I mean like a big one. And this is a shout out to the MVP this week, in my opinion, which is our hopefully next commander in chief, Miss Kamala Harris, who yes. has been out here on the wavelengths gathering Trump.
And folks.
The reason why I want to highlight her this week is because a lot of times I feel like when there's these type of political climates where it's like a transition, so Donald Trump, I feel like in my opinion, was able to rise to the top because everybody was so anti-Obama, right? It was like everybody wanted a vast change in the political scope, and that's why it was easy for him to basically garnish the support that he did, and now everybody is super salty about it, and that's fine. But I love the fact that Kamala came out on the platform of being like, hey, I understand that you don't necessarily feel an affinity for voting for another quote-unquote like adversary to the structure, because when everybody looks at her, they're like, oh, we're not ready for an African-American leader, blah, blah, blah. And I respect the fact that she has come out and acknowledged that at the forefront and called y'all me
personally, out
me
women.
Specifically, mm-hmm. and called me out and said, I recognize the fact that you feel like we're not ready for this, but you better go ahead and strap in and get out there and make this a real possibility. And I'm going to tell you why. And everything she said this whole week in every political forum was reading the entire administration to fill. And it gave me all kinds of feels all week long. So
did it provide you some hope?
Yes. So much hope. Like,
hope and change.
I'm here for it because it ties into me politicking this week about feeling stuck and feeling, you know, as an African-American woman, you are subjugated to operate in this particular bounds. And she's like, nope. You tried it. Let me tell you all of the ways that we're ready to break these bounds and to exceed. So she's my MVP this week because the way that she gathered.
Kamala Harris, hopefully our next president.
Her hair was laid.
I just love watching her use her verbiage to gather your nerves.
She shows her the prosecutor inside her comes out all the time, and I love it.
Ooh, I do enjoy it.
I wonder if she does like theater performance, like vocal training before she goes out and reads everybody to fill.
Yeah,
because she hasn't even stumbled. She hasn't done a hiccup.
But she's been a prosecutor. She's been in front of juries and judges and courtrooms.
She doesn't even like collect herself.
Because she has it together already. Because she already knows
from
what she has to
from the beginning to the end. Like, it is so impressive. I'm like, yes.
I love when she'd be like, let me tell you something. It's like, yes, tell me. What?
She will give it to you with the finger up, swing in the air. And then hit you with the verbiage that you're like, oh my gosh, did she?
And then hit you with the side eye. Like, anyway.
And then with the hair flip. All right. So that's my MVP this week. I'm going to just shout out to her.
So my MVP is actually, you know, more than one person. But I will have to give a shout out to Reginald L. Douglas. He lives in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure if he's from Pittsburgh. But he is directing a stage play at City Theater, and it's running till December 1st.
What's it called?
It is called One Night in Miami. It's $5 a ticket. That's what the city Pittsburgh paper says. So don't get me.
Till December 1st.
December 1st. Now.
Okay.
It's called One Night in Miami. It is written by Kent Powers, who won a 2013 Ted Schmidt Award for Outstanding World Premiere of a New Play for One Night in Miami. That play won 3 LA Drama Critics Circle Awards, 4 NAACP Theater Awards, and a LA Weekly Theater Award. So this play is about
four individuals on February 25th, 1964, when Cassius Clay defeats heavyweight boxing champ Sonny Liston, and Liston was favored to win 8-1. So this is based off an actual thing that happened, but the conversations being had between four individuals is a fictional conversation. So
interesting.
So it, and it's it stars Dwayne Washington as Sam Cooke, Avery Glimp as Malcolm X, Quincy Chad as Jim Brown, and Thomas Walter Booker as Cassius Clay.
Those are the four people having a conversation?
Yes. So
oh, wow.
I'm here for it.
So Reginald L. Douglas, the director, he was quoted as saying, this is what he calls the play, a love letter to black men and a celebration of all differences and perspectives and opinions. So I just found out about it because my roommate enlightened me to this. And she was like, did you know that there's this play going on, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, Jason, you should have told me this. But I want to try to go see it, and I can give you like a quick.
What day is? Because it's December 1st is next week.
Well, that's
so
what I'm
opening
saying.
Day is again when December 1st.
No, it's already been
it's
running.
Already
it's already,
it's already been running. So let me just read you the.
So we have a little bit of work that we need to do in arts and culture, and we need to be able to give our listeners
some
arts
feedback.
And culture.
Some good feedback.
Oh yeah, hold on. Let me just get that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I think that, like, I like the individuals who are holding this conversation. Like, I can only imagine what they're saying and their opinions. And
okay. And so this is the city paper put out. So City Theater presents a preview performance of One Night in Miami, a play about four of the most important figures in Black civil rights history, written by Kent Powers and directed by Reginald L. Douglas. The work dramatizes the fateful night of February 25th. 1964, when young boxer Muhammad Ali, Islamic leader and activist Malcolm X, music legend Sam Cooke, and NFL player Jim Brown meet in a Miami hotel room to celebrate Ali's title win over Sonny Liston. In a fictionalized account of a real event, the play portrays a pivotal moment in the lives of these men. So each of these men at this time are discussing their career paths on this big night.
Ooh, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm.
So
I'm here for that.
And I've heard through the grapevine that there's a lot of eye candy to look at.
Oh. Well, so, then I'm super
good.
Just throwing it out there.
All right.
So my MVP goes to all those people involved in that. And Reginald, great job for putting that on.
Involved in it again. So what's the name of that film again? The play.
One Night in Miami. So if you have a chance, please go see this. Like, that's amazing that they got this together.
I want to go see it. All right. Let me wrap this up. My most valuable black goes out to Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm.
Okay.
Like most of you guys know who she is.
Yes.
Oldie but goodie.
Absolutely goodie. Absolutely. She was the first black woman ever elected to the United States House of Representatives. So she's the first black female congresswoman. She is a founding member of the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional Women's Caucus.
Okay.
I can't even speak right now. And she's done a lot. She was the first African-American woman to run for president.
Yes, ma'am.
So, like, I'm sure Kamala is like, channeling some of that ancestor into her right now. And I don't know. I really always liked Shirley Chisholm, one, because my mom was always a big fan. And I think that's part of the reason my mom got into politics is because Shirley Chisholm was a huge inspiration to her.
Right.
But also, I like the whole unbothered and, like, she was always speaking her opinion in
her
mind.
Miss Maxine?
Yeah, right. Okay. They probably are sisters or, like, cousins.
Exactly.
Right.
Something like Double Dutch.
You know what I mean? Right, exactly. You know, hey, sis. You know, that type of situation.
Right.
Because, like, she just did not, it's not that she didn't care, but she was like, you're going to hear my opinion. You're going to receive it. And she, like, caused all sorts of change because of that. Like, this black woman, dark black woman, is up on the national stage in a town where it was all old white men like it is kind of now, for the most part. And she was just out there like, this is how it is. This is what's wrong. This is how we need to fix it. And people listened.
Right.
So I appreciated that. The biggest reason I chose her is because this is a point in time in history where we always are after every election, we're thanking black women. Thank you so much for saving us.
Right.
You saved us. You kept a pedophile out of the goddamn Senate.
you know, you came through and voted for people.
This trash box over here, so we can have this other worse trash box.
Right, you know what I mean? You came out for Barack Obama. You come out all the time supporting us and holding us up. And she is, Shirley Chisholm is one of, like, when I think about what black women do today, I think about all she's done and the reason black women are able to do what they do, because she was one of the first to really be out there and be outspoken. And I think that, like, we as black men need to get on that level.
Period. Agreed. Mm. Agreed.
Black men. I definitely didn't see it taking that turn.
I mean, Shirley Chisholm is an inspiration to me. And, like, I want to do better because of her. And I want more black men to see black women for what they are and what they do and try to get on their level. Because we are doing a lot, but we're not doing enough. I think we need to support better. And also
have more
get,
of these conversations.
And the reason I bring this up as well is because Kamala's out here running for president and y'all are acting like she's not able. And she is. She's
all the way.
Fucking qualified and prepared to do this job. And y'all trying to play her because she's a woman. Fuck you.
Yep. Like,
it just... Right, I'm not going into that, but
so thank you guys for listening this week to our rant.
We appreciate it.
This was a hard week for us. I feel like Wes had a stressful week. I know I had a stressful week. Ted, you had a stressful week. I came in, I said, how are you? And you were like, I'm here.
I think
we all had a stressful week, but I'm excited because I want more conversations like this.
Yep. And also, we'll be here next week.
Yeah.
Like, share, you know, please go on to our, you know, our Facebook page and Instagram and comment and participate in the conversation. We really appreciate hearing from you and absolutely
don't
make
fuck
sure.
Some shit up. Sorry.
Oh. Walk into a room, okay. Fuck shit up, walk
that's
out, walk back in.
Okay.
Sorry,
y'all don't
that's
know
this week. It's a fucking shit up type of week.
Okay.
Later.
Bye.